He had designed an explanation, almost an apology, and I did not feel insensible to his condescension, and would not seem so. "I'm willing to amuse you, if I can, sir, quite willing, but I cannot introduce a topic, because how do I know what will interest you? Ask me questions, and I will do my best to answer them." "Then in the first place, do you agree with me that I have a right to be a little masterful, abrupt, perhaps exacting sometimes, on the grounds I stated, namely that I am old enough to be your father, and that I have battled through a varied experience with many men of many nations, and roamed over half the globe, while you have lived quietly with one set of people in one house?"
"Do as you please, sir."
"That is no answer, or rather it is very irritating, because a very evasive one. Reply clearly."
"I don't think, sir, you have the right to command me merely because you are older than I, or because you have seen more of the world than I have. Your claim to superiority depends on the use you have made of your time and experience."
Promptly spoken. But I won't allow that, seeing that it would never suit my case, as I have made an indifferent, not to say bad, use of both advantages. Leaving superiority out of the question, then, you must still agree to receive my orders now and then without being piqued or hurt by the tone of command. Will you?"
I smiled. I thought to myself, Mr. Rochester is peculiar. He seems to forget that he pays me £30 per annum for receiving his orders.
"The smile is very well," said he, catching instantly the passing expression. "But speak, too."
"I was thinking, sir, that very few masters would trouble themselves to inquire whether or not their paid subordinates were piqued and hurt by their orders."
"Paid subordinates? What? You are my paid subordinate, are you? Oh, yes, I'd forgotten the salary.